House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto. Here. Berger. Here. Blake. Here. Flickrey. Here. Bonner. Here. Botten. Here. Brechtel. Here. Brown. Here. Burkhart. Here. Bird. Here. Campbell. Here. Kennedy. Here. Childers. Here. Connolly. Here. Kraft. Here. Davison. Here. Edmonds. Here. Eklund. Here. Esquibel. Here. Freeman. Gay, Gingery, Goggles excused, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Miller, Moniz, here. Nicholas, here. Patton, here. Peasley, here. Pedersen, here. Peterson, here. Petroff, here. Korberg, here. Roscoe, here. Simlick, here. Shepperson, here. Stewart, here. Stubson, here. Teeters, here. Throne, here. Ronish, here. Wallace, here. Swanitzer Dan, here. Swanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker,
here.
Miller, 59 present, 1 excused.
Our prayer for today will be offered by Pastor Robert Schmidt from St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Cheyenne. Please stand.
Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have bestowed upon this great state of Wyoming. We pray that you send your Spirit, the Spirit that has created this state and this world, to be with all who are making decisions for the people. We ask that all decisions be made according to the will of the one who created all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep all the house safe from all harm and all danger, that your will may be done. In the name of the Creator of this world, amen.
We are at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 17, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparik, Representative Freeman.
At that order of business, messages from the Senate.
Message number 6, Mr. Speaker. This is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the temporary Senate and joint rules of the 61st Wyoming State Legislature with the following amendments as the permanent Senate and joint rules of the 61st Wyoming State Legislature General Session. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker. Message number 100. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 16, School Facilities Adequacy Assessment, Ayes 27, Noes 2, Excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 101, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 38, School Athletic Safety. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 102, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 11, Chin's Administrative Change of Placement. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 103, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 35, Law Enforcement Academy Director Duties, Ayes 29, Excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 104. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 74, Wyoming Market Research Center, Ayes 25, Noes 4, Excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 105, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 75, Workforce Housing Infrastructure Funds Reversion, Ayes 25, Noes 4, Excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 106, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 76, Voluntary Environmental Audit Report, Ayes 28, Noes 1, Excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Harvey, Chairman Harvey.
Privilege of floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Up in the gallery over here, we have a group of people called People First of Wyoming. And it is a group of folks that are solely coordinated by over 100 individuals with both mental and physical disabilities. There's no other group in the state that advocates for themselves. And what they advocate for is the ability to have their own self-determination, where they're going to live, what they're going to do, who they associate with, self-advocacy, and the best thing they do is they develop leadership among the members and others with disabilities in the community. Would you please welcome the People First group in the South Gallery?
Representative Roscoe.
Privileges of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce a gentleman up in the north balcony who, even though he spent most of his younger life in the penalty box, did manage to become an engineer and is here for a week visiting me, my son, Will Roscoe.
We We are at that order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 67.
House Bill 67, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to circuit courts, magistrates' elimination.
House Bill 67 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157.
House Bill 157, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property conveyances, abolition of worthier title doctrine.
House Bill 157 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 158.
House Bill 158, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property rule against perpetuities.
House Bill 158 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
House Bill 159 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 160.
House Bill 160, introduced by the Management Audit Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to legislative oversight.
House Bill 160 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153.
House Bill 153, introduced by Representative Semlich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fuel tax, agricultural gas tax refund program.
House Bill 153 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Lubnow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to student assessment.
House Bill 155 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Elloway.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education, interstate compact on students of military families.
House Bill 161 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Semlich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Loan and Investment Board regarding hydropower development.
House Bill 151 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Semlich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Environmental Quality Act, Very Rare or Uncommon Area Designations.
House Bill 152 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Petroff.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state lands, Grand Teton National Park, transfer of state lands.
House Bill 156 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 148.
House Bill 148, introduced by Representative Brechtel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses, assisted suicide ban.
House Bill 148 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 154.
House Bill 154, introduced by Representative Harvey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicle registration, handicapped license plates.
And House Bill 154 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. We are at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 24, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Nicholas, Throne. No, Brechtel, Crone, Peasley. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 30, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbuto, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 74, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. No, Connolly, Freeman. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 2, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illoway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson. Signed, Representative Illoway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 4, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson, no, Croker. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 9, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 10, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blickery, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Roscoe, Shepperson, Stubson, no, Byrd, Patton. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
We're at that order of business. Bills on second reading. Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Speaker, is now an appropriate time to re-refer bills?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, I move that House Bill 50 be re-referred to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Motion is to re-refer House Bill 50 to committee number 2, Appropriations. Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. Now we will proceed with bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 18. There is an amendment. Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move.
I'm sorry. Hold on. He's got to read the bill real quick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. House Bill 18, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the quarantine of animals.
Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 18. As you might recall, this was the quarantine of animals bill, provided some additional authority for the state veterinarian to deal with issues of importation of animals that haven't been properly inspected and treated. There was concern on committee of the whole when we discussed this bill about the authority of the state veterinarian perhaps to order other people to do things. The intent was for the state veterinarian or for his staff, the assistant, the deputy state vet or one of the field veterinarians, to have this authority and only them. So in order to clarify that, I bring you this amendment on page 5, line 2. We'll delete himself or order another to on page 5, line 3. So now that section D will read the state veterinarian may inspect, treat, test, so forth and so on. So I ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think that this is a good amendment. I did co-sponsor it with my good friend from up in Crook County, and I think it makes this bill a much better bill. So I am on and in favor of this second reading amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. The question is, House Bill 18 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to collection agencies.
House Bill 108, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters of the 61st, House Bill 28 will come off of the consent list and go on to the regular list. There is an amendment. Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 19, House Bill 40, House Bill 57, and House Bill 60.
Does anyone else wish to have any bills removed from the consent list at this time? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 19, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to circuit court judges, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 40, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 57, an act relating to feral livestock, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 60, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, taxation of oil and gas field services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden. Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Pedersen,
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 19, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 40, are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Peterson, aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed, 51 ayes, 8 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 57, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 60, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 19, 40, 57, and 60 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to education regarding the Hathaway Success Curriculum, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 13 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 13 was a bill that was brought about basically as a compromise between the Senate and the House, and it covers many of the items that were in the second reading amendment. And what this bill does is basically, it deletes the second reading amendment and brings the bill back to the way that it was. Many of the courses taught as delineated are taught as some of the other parts of the curriculum, such as language arts and various other things, and it was not quite as specific as the second reading amendment. My concern is that this very tightrope that we're walking here to get to be able to encompass the fine arts and the trades is something that we've tried to do for some time. We took a bill across to the Senate, I believe it was last year, and it flew out of this House with a great majority and didn't even get out of the Senate committee because they were very concerned about the bill and about what they called the taking and dumbing it down. And so this is a compromise that was crafted in the way that the bill is written, and I would ask you to take that into consideration with what we're doing here. I realize the other bill delineated a lot of other good things, and I have no argument with that. But I did very work. This was my bill that I brought to the committee, and I worked very hard to get this bill drafted in such a form that I felt it could pass the Senate Education Committee and the Senate Education and on the Senate floor. So that's why I'm asking you to support this amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just kind of as a point, I think in our, and I know because I violated most of these rules, but our rules, we really don't want to, we shouldn't refer to what the other body down the hall might do or the chief executive downstairs. It's really about what we want to do. And we're duly elected, and we can set policy in this chamber. And then there's a process if we have differences with our folks down at the other end of the hall. So I'm not sure what they'll do. Frankly, I think we ought to focus on doing what we think is right and correct policy. And then in the end, it'll all get better and work to the common good. Once again, I'd urge you to reject this amendment. I think the bringer of this amendment yesterday had a well-thought-out plan. And I think if you really get to the spirit of this bill, it was about choice. That's how I've come to see this, I guess. And how do we value culinary arts in Powell, I'm looking at a course there at this school, or apparel furnishings over what might be a second-year humanities course in another school or a second-year computer application-type course. And if a youngster and their parents want to kind of track in that direction with technology or humanities, whatever it might be, I think we give them that choice. So I'd urge your rejection of this, and if the folks somewhere else have a problem with this, we'll get together at a later time and do what we think is best. So on and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a different opinion of the second reading amendment than I do the third reading amendment. The reason I pointed this out yesterday, one of the reasons I brought the second reading amendment in the first place was that I thought it was a kind of a wise preemptive move on behalf of the Education Committee. And this is exemplified and illustrated well with an email I got in response to this second reading amendment from a school teacher. Now, I'm not going to read the amendment, but I'll summarize some important things. Evidently, she's about two doors away from the good representative from House District 60, teaching school there. And one of the things she points out is the idea that students are more successful, engaged learners, when they're studying a subject they have chosen. All right? And all of this second reading amendment really was doing was to address that kind of thing that, you know, we've put a scratch line in the sand that says we're not going to monkey with the hardcore success curriculum involving math, science, English, and things like that. But there's a room, there's a little piece in there that's available for students to select subjects that they have chosen. And to that end, that's what I was thinking of. Another thing that you need to realize is that, just like is said here, fine and performing arts as well as career and technical education enrollments have dropped dramatically since the success curriculum began. And that began with the exclusion of everything except foreign languages. Well, this is the same thing that's going to happen to us during the interim when it's discovered that these other areas that I've included, such as humanities, health and safety, applied technology, if they're available in certain schools, it's going to have a deleterious effect on enrollments in those areas, and it will compromise students' ability to oftentimes select a subject matter that they've chosen. You know, I don't know, but maybe health and safety courses are more interesting to someone that's planning a medical career than foreign languages or fine arts. I think that's something that the parents and the students can find out themselves. The other thing you find is that, you know, the complaint we have now with the way it exists is that foreign language students are full of kids that don't want to learn foreign languages, and they're disruptive. You know, maybe there'll be people in the chorus or in the band that are in there because they figure that's the least path, the least resistance for them, and they'd rather be in another area. I think as far as having one or two electives that a student can enjoy in their high school career and at the same time benefit their future, that I don't think that we're smart enough to decide that we can choose three areas, but we don't want them to waste their time in areas like humanities and applied technology. A lot of these schools won't use all of these areas. We're saying that we've got a menu here that's available statewide. If your school has them, we're not going to get in your face and tell you you can't take them. And that these courses are relevant and worthwhile, just like cooking classes are and photography classes are in the VOTEC area. And that's where I am. I don't think it's, you know, if this amendment, third reading amendment goes through, I still think we ought to pass the bill. But I just wanted to convey the logic behind the second reading amendment and hope that it'll be staying in. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to pass this third reading amendment and bring it down to those three core areas of foreign language, which is important. We are in a worldwide economy. Performing arts. And I think that those are the ones that encourage brain development. And I think that those are foreign language, too, increases that brain development. Those two actually help kids succeed in other areas, but it gives them an option of which one they want to go. If they're not interested in taking a foreign language, then put them in another class that still will help them with that brain development, with the math skills that come with music, with the memorization skills that come with that. And then the vocational education just gives kids a chance, whether it's applied technology, whether it's computers, whether it's auto mechanics, whether it's the traditional, what I call home ec. I don't remember the new name of it. But it gives them an opportunity to explore. You know, we have a college across the mountain from me that specializes in culinary arts, and yet kids in high school are so bound by their schedule that they may not even know if they're interested in it. it seems to me that the original bill, the bill in its original form, without the second reading amendment, covers those very, very important areas and gives students a chance to reach out and to blossom and to discover who they are and what they're really interested in. I would urge you to support this third reading amendment.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also urge you to support the third reading amendment. Yesterday, I actually spoke in favor of the second reading amendment because I think it's extremely well-intentioned. I think it brings a lot of great options. But what I have come to realize in the 24 hours is that it also brings with it some unintended consequences. I'm not really all that concerned about the body at the other end of the hall, but I am concerned about our school districts, and I'm concerned about emails and contacts that I have received from them saying that they also believe the second reading amendment was very well intentioned, but it's too much too soon. It will overwhelm. It will not provide the options so much as it will a bit of chaos for them. I think we're all on the same page. We all want choices. We all want options for our kids. In fact, I found it really wonderful that the email that my good colleague from House District 40 referenced was actually from a teacher in my school district who was urging support of the third reading amendment and removal of the second reading amendment. We did, in the Education Committee, spend an entire year listening to all of this testimony, working this, and this really was what seemed to be the bill in its original form, the best compromise for the most number of people, as the responses I have received from school districts everywhere would attest to. I would urge your support of the third reading amendment. Thank you.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I again rise in support of this third reading amendment. And, ladies and gentlemen, I was struck by the comments from our good representative from House District 40 saying how we should prepare for a potential request to add this in later. And in my mind, that shows that we've got here in this second reading amendment a solution looking for a problem. Quite frankly, I have heard from no one in my school district or any of my students wanting to incorporate these classes into the Hathaway curriculum. And that said, I would say I'm happy to just sit and wait and see if we see anything rising as a grassroots movement to include this in the curriculum. And I can assure you, I have had zero comments from anywhere that this is would rise to the level of significance at this point. So, again, on and in support of this third reading amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am on and against the third reading amendment. I don't know that it's a matter of being well-intentioned or just a matter of using common sense, but we clearly have 11 common core areas of knowledge that we have identified. So I think it defies logic to add two more common core areas on and not go ahead and add the rest of them on and say, oh, but our two are more important than the other ones that we added on in the second reading amendment. So I just think that we, in fairness to not only to the school districts, but also to the students we're trying to serve with this program, that if we're going to add two more Common Core areas, then I think the appropriate thing and the logical thing and the thing that makes most sense to me is we add all 11 of them. Because clearly, I don't think any of us here today would ever doubt that physical education is extremely important, not only to your physical well-being, but your mental well-being and your ability to be able to learn. So to say that physical education shouldn't be on there and isn't as important as the fine and performing arts and voc ed, I think is just not the right way to go. So I encourage everyone to defeat this third reading amendment. Let's put the 11 Common Core areas on And I don't think it's going to be a problem, nor do I think it's going to cause any problem for the school districts and certainly not for the students that we're trying to serve on and against the third reading amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my other life as a high school teacher and a department head, I have to work with the administration to kind of figure out what we did here and what it means when we get to the classroom and to the, in my case, the high school. I think that this is very well intentioned, and I think that everybody wants to have our students to have a well-rounded education. But a lot of the stuff that was in the amendment is already part of the success curriculum. If you look at humanities, and in the amendment it said social sciences, for my school and for most schools around the state, they're going to be taking a history class, they're going to be taking a government class, more than likely they're also going to be taking a world history. So that's already into the success curriculum. My guess is humanities would also be language arts, so that you have 4 years that will be also in that area. If you also look at the amendment, Mr. Speaker, you're seeing applied technology, and you're looking at the computers. That is in our career technical fields, and that is also something that was in the original bill, and this is almost a repeat. Radio technology we don't have, but a lot of the applied technology that we have, the welding, the auto mechanics, the CAD, that stuff is already in the success curriculum, and this amendment wouldn't be needed. The health and safety, if you look at that, they're talking about nutrition. We have a culinary course, and nutrition would be part of that also, and that would also be into the career and technical education portion of the original bill, and is again the amendment is not needed. What is needed, in my humble opinion, is that we have to have kids more active, and what we have in the success curriculum right now does not address physical education whatsoever. I think the first three is already taken up in the original bill, and there's a part of repetitivism. Again, I talk about, Mr. Speaker, going back to my real life. By the time that I get to it in March, it will go through the Wyoming Department of Education rules. It'll go through the categories that we split the different teaching professions. And there'll be more clarification or rules that will go through there. And then when it hits, they'll go through the school district and the curriculum coordinating and says, well, do we have to put together a 2-year PE course? So that we hit the success curriculum? Do we need to put together a nutrition? And what happens is the best intentions that we have here, sometimes by the time that it gets to my desk at Rock Springs High School, it is not what the intention was here. I think my original support of House Bill 13 was that it provided a choice. And I think that it is a wide enough choice to continue to have the amendment provides almost too much choice and will lose focus. So I ask you to support the amendment to delete yesterday's amendment and to support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment and for the bill, to give you a little history on this, the good chairman from District 37 and myself brought the original two bills concerning these scholarships. Neither one of us got it perfect by any means, and for good reason it was brought to the committee for an interim study. And what came out of that was the program we got, and of course it has been amended several times. But the gentleman that actually brought this whole issue to us was Patrick Taylor in Louisiana, and the Patrick Taylor Foundation. Unfortunately, he died right before it was presented to by a gentleman to the state of Wyoming through a meeting in Casper. But this issue, this scholarship, belongs to the state of Wyoming and its citizens. And the good representative from District 37 was exactly right on in explaining what the gentleman from District 40, Johnson County, brought. We need the flexibility in it, and I think that does that. And I strongly urge you to defeat the amendment and try to understand that we need to do this for all the citizens of the state, and in particular, make sure that our students are brought into an education that can step out into the world for jobs. I can remember in my previous life in that nasty old black oil business. Of course, I've seen it green, too, and light brown and clear and a bunch of gas, just like around here. But the people that I interviewed for jobs, sometimes it was just downright pitiful. We need to give them an incentive to step into the world of jobs besides just educating themselves for the basic curriculum. And I think the good representative from Johnson County did bring something to do that. And I'll have to go along with the gentleman from 37, District 37, that has spent a lot of time in the education field, and I haven't. But on the other hand, I think he's right. So please vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Ranish.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment. And, you know, this body, we're seeing a lot of education bills, and we're going to see a lot more of them. And because there's a problem with education, we've experimented with education. My son was taught a new way of phonics. He still can't spell very well. My other son got the old phonics. He's a good speller. They experimented with new math. We all know what the problems are. We know that what we need is reading, writing, and arithmetic. We got to get back to the basics. These are all good and useful subjects that they'd like to have. They're all good, but we can't experiment. And I apologize. I lost my train of thought there, but you know, we need to get back to these basics, and I speak in support of the amendment. Oh, I remember what it was, and it's very important. In cursive writing, they are not teaching in cursive writing in schools. You go talk to we got a gift the other day here, okay? And it's written on there in cursive writing. My 11-year-old grandson, who is my campaign manager, and I hope that's legal to say, but He said, "What's that word, Grandpa?" He couldn't read the word because they're not taught in cursive. And we're really, really, really handicapping them. And we need to get back to the basics. And I rise and speak in support of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We all came to Cheyenne at least I did from my district up north, with a strong tailwind of support for focused choice, and that choice as it was expressed in House Bill 13. For my part, I think we should stay with that, and so I stand in support of this amendment and in support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in support of and in favor of both the bill and the amendment, third reading amendment. Everything I've heard from my own district has been the fact that is what we've been referred to earlier in this session as the dumbing down of the Hathaway scholarship, and they're very concerned about that. And so my own personal opinion is I favor this amendment and hope that the rest of the body will look at it in that manner. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Chairman McComey. No, well, if you're getting...
Thank you.
Representative Harshman got up there a little bit late, so we're going to let you go last. So, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to give a good chairman there the chance to go last. I didn't know it was such a rush on first time. I thought there might be a similar rush, but I just wanted to share a couple things and appreciate the great debate. And you remember back to Friday when this bill was on general file and I got my dome beat on pretty good. But it was a good, I think, for all of us to kind of go back and take a look at what the intent of the success curricula is. And at that time, the argument that carried the day last Friday, that choice was good. And after our arguments, I think you all got an email from a guy. It was, and he talked about scare tactics that I used. And he's one of my fellow educators in Casper. He's an outstanding welding teacher at Kelly Walsh High School. And he wanted me to assure you that school was out that day. He wasn't typing emails to us why he's teaching or supervising welding students. That was my first question. I had others ask me that. And then yesterday, of course, the school district was not in school for Martin Luther King Day. So after the passage of this amendment, and I spoke in favor of it yesterday, he texted me and he said, and this is the guy who accused me of scare tactics, he says, good work and the right direction. And by the way, I'm off of school today. Thanks for your support. And so I guess the point is choice is good, but more choice is bad. That's kind of the arguments I'm hearing there. And you know, this graduating class in 2011 now, these kids who are seniors this year, this is going to be the first year that we've had the full success curricula. It's been the ramp up to this point. So I think we're going to start to see some real positive results. This bill, the way it's written, without the second reading amendment, really, really takes away a lot of the things that we thought early in the success curricula. And you can argue foreign language, arts, career technical education, and you can argue these other areas. A kid who wants to major in history and move on and do things, why shouldn't he be allowed to take an extra world civilizations class that would count to this? You know, the way House Bill 13, without this amendment, he wouldn't be able to do that. So really the place where there's no choice in the success curricula, where there's no choice, is really math and science for those upper tiers. We're pretty clear on what we expect. And that's really the way it should be. That's what the research says should happen. And with this, I thought, well thought out amendment on second reading, it really allows choice then for kids to be engaged in school with no compromise on that fourth year of math and science, which is not required to graduate from high school. We require for a merit scholarship. And then finally, flexibility. And we all come from our different circumstances. You know, I grew up and graduated from one of the smaller schools in the state, and I teach at, you know, one of the second largest, bigger than most of your communities. If you look at this, 55% of the kids in this state go to Sheridan High School, Campbell County High School, the schools and high schools in Natrona County, Cheyenne, or Rock Springs. That's 55% of the students just in those five districts. And so whatever we pass today, whatever, it's going to work in those big school districts because there's flexibility. There's enough teachers. There's enough flexibility with schedule. But with the small school districts, I submit to you there isn't. And that's really the comments I've heard. So since this bill's gone through the last 3 days, everything I've got from teachers in the field said, we're on the right track. Thank you. And so keep in mind flexibility with no compromise on math and science. And so I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I listened with interest to the debate. I'd like to make a couple comments. Some of them, a lot of the comments that I was going to make were covered by some of the other speakers. The gentleman from the Sweet River area made some very pertinent comments, and I'd like to expand upon those a little bit, having spent as much time working with education as I have. And that's every district has, not every district, but most all districts have a curriculum director. And those curriculum directors decide how they're going to teach. And many of the things that are in the second reading amendment are already incorporated in a curriculum. that such as was referred to earlier. I've got some emails that from other educators that refer to that. And the broader terms used in the original bill give more flexibility so that you can take, if in humanities, you can take this course and that course and still qualify with the two or whatever it is. Not directly like that. The bill was crafted to give your students and the parents as much choice as they could possibly give them and still allow those to be replace the requirements for foreign language. Foreign language is very important, as one of the other speakers got up and said. But there are courses where the foreign language really doesn't carry that much weight when you get to college. Some courses you go into college and you're required to take it. But that said, my concern was this gets down too much to the specifics. 2 years of this, 2 years of that, 2 years of this, named that way, when it is part of some of the other core courses that are being taught that are already part of the curriculum. So that's where I came from, and that's my concern. And I ask you to support the amendment.
Question having been called on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 13, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
There you go. All those in favor, please stand. The amendment has been adopted. House Bill 13, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy. Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Ronish,
aye.
Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 7 noes, 1 excused.
Chairman Teeters.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a point of order as the majority whip. We need to try and get back to our decorum and our rules, and I know that we're all still a little rusty, but there were 3 occasions just in that last debate where we used proper names. So we just need to be careful about that. Thank you.
Thank you. House Bill 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 13 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28.
House Bill 28, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to children, child protection, shelter care, and initial hearings, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And there is an amendment, and Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you recall, we had some debate during the first reading of Committee of the Whole. A concern was raised by Mr. Speaker with regarding to what transpired if it was decided not to, instead of just having a shelter care hearing, also have the initial hearing. So with regards to the concerns that were raised during the committee as a whole discussion, we immediately went and modified the language at page 7, which you have as your third reading amendment at page 7, line 22, inserting language so that if you take a plea at, if you conduct the shelter care hearing along with the initial hearing, then this just clarifies that you can do that and the procedures you follow. And so the sole purpose of this amendment is to make sure that we cover the concerns that were raised by Mr. Speaker during that debate. And if there are any other questions about it, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you. I move for the amendment. Thank you. And I was supposed to do this on second reading, but I didn't know how the procedures work, and now I'm screwing it up on the third reading. But I would move for the amendment number 1 for House Bill number 28. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time? Question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 28, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. House Bill 28, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Bronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 9 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 28, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 28 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 1.
House Joint Resolution Number 1, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to eliminate restrictions on the authority of the District Court Commissioners, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Just as a reminder, this will require a two-thirds vote of those elected for passage. Seeing no amendments or discussion, the chief clerk will, well, I should say, House Joint Resolution Number 1, having been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk shall call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Byrd, no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
no.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Korberg, aye. Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Byrd, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
House Joint Resolution 1, having received a two-thirds vote, affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution number 1 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I must, on the first bill that we considered, I must beg forgiveness for saying names. However, I guess I felt pretty strong that the name of the foundation that gave us this scholarship is important. And then second of all, most people don't know, without mentioning names, but the big boss on the other end of the hall is the one that brought this to the state. And you should go around and thank him for doing that. But I am truly sorry for mentioning names.
Thank you, Representative Childers. We'll be conducting a vote on whether or not we accept your apology later in the day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
We are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into the committee of the whole. Representative Shepperson.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 109 will come after House Bill 113.
Thank you. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 20, introduced by the Select Developmental Intellectual Program Labor and Health Committee, an act relating to Medicaid reimbursement of services. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Kraft, Gay, Gingrey, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller, No, Peasley. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 20 do pass, and I would like to turn the discussion of this bill over to one of the select committee members, you.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In my haste, did Chairman Harvey move the standing committee amendment?
Chairman Harvey.
I move to stand in committee amendment number one, and we'll let the good representative explain it.
Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I will just briefly explain the standing committee amendment, ask for a quick vote on it. It's basically just deleting the words family member and inserting relative. If there are no questions on that, I would call for the question.
You have heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege of being on the Select Committee of Developmental Disabilities this summer, and wow, was that a learning experience for someone who has never really been involved in that arena. We had several big issues to tackle. This was one of the biggest hurdles. In 2009, one of our biggest state agencies who deals with this sort of stuff had to send out a letter to providers in the state who care for their family members, saying that you can continue to care for those family members, but you are no longer going to get reimbursed with Medicaid funds. Now, these family members, they're not just caring for a high-functioning Down syndrome child. They're caring for the extreme cases. They're caring for people like with adults with acquired brain injuries. They're caring for adults who cannot take care of themselves, who need help with hygiene, who need help with feeding. It is the extraordinary care that these people receive that makes these cases very special. The reason that I feel so strongly that we need to reimburse these parents for that is because if we don't, then these parents, most of them cannot afford to do that. So then these children, these adults, are going to go to other institutions of the state where they're going to receive a lesser quality care. It's going to cost the state more money, and it tears up a family. It takes those children out of their communities, their adults out of their communities, where they even struggle more. So to me, one of the most basic roles of government is to care for those who can't care for themselves. And that's what this bill is all about, keeping those people in the homes, in their communities, where the parents and the families can provide the best quality of care. We're not the only states that have done this. There are several other states that go down this road. So it's a small change that needs to happen that will make a big difference in these lives of these people. So if you look at the bill, it's basically just changing two definitions, the definition of medical assistance and the definition of family caregiver. So at this point, I would stand for any questions or turn it over to the good chairman, who can probably explain it a lot better than I can.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. One of the reasons for this bill was that there were parents who did not have, there were people who did not have services in their own community, in their own area, that met the needs of their adult children with disabilities. And this does not only include adults, but children as well. But the division recommended to them that they start their own limited liability company, develop the programming that they wanted for their children with disabilities, and then hire who they wanted and train them in the way that they wanted, so that through the limited liability company, they could hire who they needed to perform the services for their children. Now, the problem with that was several years later, the Attorney General issued an opinion. It was during the time that the federal agency that authorizes Medicaid services was going through a review, when they realized that these LLCs existed, and they said, your definition, the state's definition, does not qualify these parents to have an LLC. Wyoming law also states that you can't do anything as a corporation that you could not do as an individual. And that's one of the reasons for the changing of the definition in this. And so why would you say medical assistance means partial or full payment of reasonable charges assessed by any authorized provider? That could be a doctor, it could be a dentist, it could be a chiropractor, it could be lots of different medical professionals, physical therapists. And what the original definition was stated to do was to make sure that if a doctor saw their own child, they wouldn't get medically reimbursed. Now, that seems illogical because they wouldn't be Medicaid eligible unless they were on the waiver. So what this does is that it brings it down very specific. It's not for all family members. It's not for all providers. But the relative is a family caregiver providing services under a home and community-based waiver program. So there are four of those. There is the child, the adult, the acquired brain injury, and the long-term care services for people not necessarily with disabilities, but if they were not in the long-term care waiver, they would be in a nursing home. So it provides that family members can provide that extraordinary care. Now, my first objection with this remedy was, do we open the state for fraud and abuse? Are we saying, fine, quit your job, stay home, take care of your kid, and we'll pay your wages, and that'll pay your bills, and everything will be okay? Well, I think, and my heart at first also said, why should parents get paid for taking care of their children? Well, I think that would be true if you're talking about, and please excuse if I get graphic here, but parents shouldn't be paid for changing the diaper of a two-year-old. That should be their job. That is not extraordinary care. But a wife changing the diaper of a 22-year-old with an acquired brain injury and has to quit her job to stay home, or her other choice is put him in a nursing home and break their family apart. I mean, it's the extraordinary care. It's not ordinary care. It's extraordinary care. So that allows for families to stay together. It allows for families to develop companies that have specialty care, that have a special need. One of the diagnoses that we saw this in the most was families with autism, where the community providers did not have the knowledge, did not have the personnel, did not have the programming in place to take care of them. So this bill enables two things. Parents to stay home. If one parent needs to quit their job, it enables them to take care of those extraordinary care needs. It enables the LLCs to be legal, and it helps families stay together.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just raise in support of the measure. When we made the amendment on page 2, line 12, we changed from family giver to relative, but we left the term family caregiver on line 17 and 18. One is in the description and the other one in the rules promulgation. Is there a need for more consistency? Should those other two lines would be changed to relative, or are you satisfied with the way it is?
Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it needs to stay the way it is. That's because of that's the way it is defined. It needs to stay that way.
Representative Korber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I do have a question, because I guess I'm not quite sure. The way I read the handout, currently family members are not covered for expenses, out-of-pocket expenses. This piece of legislation would allow them to be covered if they so chose. But I find it hard to believe then that this bill has no fiscal impact to the state of Wyoming, because I'm assuming the bill's being asked for in order to encourage family members to become certified and qualify for Medicaid, and don't we pay part of the Medicaid expenses? So it's kind of interesting to me that there's no significant fiscal impact on this piece of legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. If you go back up to page 2, lines 8 through 10, actually 9 and 10, it's providing services under a home and community-based waiver program. That is not an entitlement program. We do have a waiting list for that program. These people already are on the waiver. They're already receiving services. We're just changing who we pay the money to. They've already got their budget in place. They've already got their needs delineated and what services that they require. So it's not changing what they require or what services they receive. It's changing who's doing the service, who's accomplishing the service. And so the payment stays the same.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to put a little piece in here. As a parent that had to make this decision several years ago, I can tell you it's not an easy decision to make, but I can also tell you that at that time when we had to make that decision in our home, we didn't have a choice. But as Elaine said, as Representative Harvey said, the money is already there. The money is already going to that patient or that client. And what happens is it just transfers to a different person for care. There are many dollars going to these different programs throughout the state for the care of these individuals. But the families up until this point haven't been able to get any of that money if they chose to keep their child at home. And so I would urge you to support this legislation. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 20 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 20 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 21, introduced by Representative Barbuto, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding battery against a family member. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Throne. No, Brechtel, Nicholas, Peasley. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Well, hello, Chairman Brown.
Good morning, Madam Chairman.
Good morning.
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 21 do pass. And I would leave it to Representative Barbuto to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm happy to bring before you House Bill 21. And just for a little background info, this bill came as a result of the frustration of our county attorney and his inability to charge people with a subsequent misdemeanor, even felony, based on how many years it was since their last conviction for the same crime. So I think it's a pretty simple bill. I'll just go through it with you quickly. If you'll turn to page 2, and like I said before, we're only dealing with subsequent convictions of simple assault. So we'll start on the second, and if you go down to line 9, we've taken out the language that says within the previous 5 years. So what we're saying that if a person, what it originally said, that if your second conviction of simple assault happened within 5 years, then you were guilty of a second misdemeanor. But if it happened outside of that 5-year period, then that would revert back to your first misdemeanor. That second misdemeanor wouldn't happen. So that's in section Romanet I. If you'll go down to Romanet 2 in that section, and the meat of this is on page 3, starting on line 3, this deals with the third conviction. Now, previously, the law, well, currently, I should say, the statute reads that if your third conviction happens within 10 years of your last, then that becomes the felony level. So if it happened 11 years later, it wouldn't be a felony, for instance. And then, so we've crossed out that language. And then on line 5 and 6, we've upped the imprisonment time and the fine to the level of other felonies, which is 10 years and $10,000. So basically what this bill is doing is getting rid of those look-back periods that occur in the statutes, and I hope sending out the message that Wyoming is serious when it comes to simple assault and domestic violence. So I'd be happy to stand for any questions if there are any.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 21 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 21 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again. I'm sorry. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon recess. In House 18, we'll discuss House Bill 3, Liquor License Transfers, House Bill 98, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, and House Bill 137, Private Transfer Fee Obligations.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, room H18. To consider House Bill 111, Public Works and Contracts, House Bill 112, Mining Permits, and House Bill 114, Insurance Premium Failure to Pay.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday the 19th, upon adjournment in room H17 to consider the following bills. House Bill 73, Dental Services Freedom Bill, House Bill 65, Marital Counseling, House Bill 35, Health Care Choice and Protection Act.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet today. 10 minutes after we adjourn this afternoon in room H17, we will hear bills House Bill 22, Phased-in fuel tax increase, House Bill 33, exceeding speed limit while passing. And also, Madam Chairman, I would like to remind the body that this Thursday, which day after tomorrow, upon the noon recess, up in room 302, there will be a light lunch served, and the Senate and House Transportation Committee will be doing, invited WildLink to come over and give us a demonstration of how well that system is working. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Chairman Brown.
Madam Chairman, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in 15 minutes in room H8 to continue consideration of the following bills. House Bill 42, Coroner Record Confidentiality. House Bill 62, Wyoming Controlled Substances Act Amendments. House Bill 43, Workers' Compensation Appeals. and House Bill 51, Industrial and Energy Development Protection. The committee will also meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, January 19th at 7:30 a.m. to consider the following bills. House Bill 75, Victim Notification Amendments. House Bill 71, Seat Belts, Evidence and Civil Actions. House Bill 68, Violent Felony Definition Expansion. And House Bill 69, Prescriptions for Marijuana Invalid.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Wednesday morning, January the 19th at 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. House Bill 54, Hobby Firearm Dealers, and House Bill 117, Data Processing Services Center Tax Exemption. And somebody needs to, as a side note, provide an alarm clock for the chairman of judiciary because he never gets up that early.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a friendly reminder for the body. Also, upon adjournment in 302, we will be having recalibration of school again. We had a lot of people this morning. It was very enjoyable. If you have more questions and you were there this morning and you'd like to come back, we'd love to have you again. That'll be upon adjournment in 302.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 2 will continue budget hearings in room 204 at 12 o'clock. We're continuing on the University of Wyoming, followed by Community Colleges, School Facilities Commission. We'll come back in on the floor, and then we plan to attend this popular recalibration meeting at 3, and at 4 we'll have the Department of Education. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
There's been a long tradition in the legislature, more than 20 years, of a legislative prayer breakfast, most often held on Thursday mornings. We are continuing that this year. This is just the first alert for a Thursday prayer breakfast. It's non-denominational. There are presenters from all denominations, and it's been well attended, well appreciated, and we want to continue that. The meeting will be, or the gathering, I guess it isn't really a meeting, is at the Egg and I at 6:30, and it's well worth your time. You're on your own for the payment of the breakfast, but it's a good event. And I'll have a written notice of the participants, but the first one, by design, will be a former Speaker of the House who will kick it off and give us a little bit of the history for those new members who I hope will be able to attend next Thursday.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday the 19th, in room 302 to discuss vicious animals, interference with game wardens, House Bill 101, so vicious animals, if you want to. And then the other one that's a big one is House Bill 47, State Park User Fee Program. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've been asked twice since I made the motion to beg leave to sit till 2 o'clock while we adjourned at 11:30. That's because there are a couple committees that have committee business that needed to be off the floor from 11:30 on, and so to accommodate them and allow for their participation in the debate, and to allow some of the other committees who've been cramped because of our other special activities to catch up on their business. So that's why the early adjournment, typically expect to go till about noon.
Any other committee announcements? Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again at 2 p.m.